So much of what we pray sometimes can be generic. It can be predictable. We say the same things all the time because we're hoping that God eventually will hear us. We want to keep them to be safe, though. We want safe prayers because if we can just have a safe prayer, then we can have a safe space in which we know the place in which we're going to work. Sometimes going to the unknown is not the most comforting of experiences. Yesterday, I had an opportunity to go to a place that not many get to go. And whilst I won't go into all the details, you know when you go to a roadblock and there's police there? And you think to yourself, what's on the other side? It's not great on the other side. Let me give you the tip. I was there yesterday, and there was an opportunity to spend some time with some of the firefighters out on the ground yesterday. And earlier in the day, I was in a meeting where I got to hear on, mid-afternoon on Friday, I heard, I was in a meeting and I heard the following sentence, and I knew there was only one thing left to do. The sentence was this: we have no trucks left. We just have to do the best we've got. It's all right, we have more trucks now. But at that point in time, we had no more trucks left. And so you want to talk about raising a hallelujah. Me and the good Lord, we had some intense words on Friday, and we got out of it. My prayer was that all of our fireys would get out safe and back to station. And that happened. That's my prayer again today. And please join me in that prayer. We want everyone home. We want everyone home safe. But we always want for prayers that be with me, keep me safe, bless me. But actually, this prayer is a bit of a dangerous prayer that we prayed that Debbie shared this morning, because it's a prayer that says, not just search me out, not just find out the things inside me that we want to change, but if there is something, break me, let's get rid of it, and send me. David was in the midst of facing persecution from his enemies, from enemies of God, and yet his claim that they were making claims that he wasn't faithful. And yet here he is in Psalm 139 where he says, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me, know my anxious thoughts. If there's any offensive way in me, lead me in the way everlasting. He's saying, I want to be like you. I want to align my ways with your ways. He's reading out aloud a prayer that we then pray in Matthew chapter 6, where we say, our Father who art in heaven, your will be done, your kingdom come. We're saying we want our ways to align with your ways. We're wanting our will to align with your will. And if that means that some of my will needs to be pushed aside, then let's do that. That can be seen as a dangerous prayer, right? One of the issues and one of the challenges in this space is that when we say, search my heart, it's one of the most deceptive things, our heart, one of the most deceptive things within our own humanity. Nobody tells us lies more than ourselves, right? Nobody tells us lies more than ourselves. And so when we're in the midst of telling ourselves those lies, we sometimes are in a thing called that river, you know? Denial. There's my dad joke for today. That's the quote. All right? That's very good. That's all I've got. And that's my quota for the next month. So you won't get another one until December. But we sometimes are in this thing called denial about, if I just say for long enough that it's not what it is, then, you know, it's not there. Yesterday morning at 4:55, who knew that there was such a thing at 4:55? Oh my goodness. That 5 minutes that I usually get extra to sleep was a real shock to the system yesterday. Wes, can you come? We're activating you for a fire call. We need you to take two firefighters home that can't make it home. Yeah, no worries. Then we went to Cedar Creek. Yeah, good. Anyway, there was one of the firefighters was sitting in the back of the car, and he said to me, "I don't know why they're sending me home in your car. I can drive myself. I don't need you." Righto, mate. I kept driving. We got to Coulson, and he's still going on about it. So from the showgrounds to Coulson, he's going on, but just blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden, it all went quiet. As we went around that last corner of Coulson before you turn right to Beaudesert, I thought, geez, is that the end of your argument, mate? And it kept being that same quiet. And I pulled up at Cedar Creek and I said, "Righto, out you get, I've got to go." "What, we're here already?" And I said, "Yeah, mate, you've been asleep for the last hour." He said, "I was just resting." I said, "Mate, you are the loudest rester I have ever met in my life, all right? You were not resting, and if that's resting, I don't want to hear you when you're sleeping, all right?" Sometimes, he was totally in denial about his current state of affairs. Have you ever been in a denial about your current state of affairs? Ever tried to put it into your phone or into your GPS to try to get the direction in which you want to head? If you don't have the current particular point that you are at, you are never going to get accurate directions about where you're wanting to go. If we don't allow God's Spirit to work within us and develop within us an honesty about our current position, search us, O God, then we are never going to be able to cope with the second part of this prayer that says, "Reveal my fears," or "Know my anxious thoughts." What makes us anxious? What makes us afraid? What are the things that we don't want to talk about? Snakes, spiders, critters. They're not real great for me. Some people are more afraid of failure, more afraid of the unknown, more afraid of loss. Some people are afraid of going outside. I didn't know that was actually a thing until I had a close family member experience that for many, many years. And it's for them, it's real. But what do we fear that God might ask us to do? It might even be just to love those who are not lovable. To love the unlovable. That would not be the nicest thing to have to get asked to do. Or maybe it might be that we're afraid that he might ask us to go out into all nations and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That might be something that we're not comfortable with him asking us to do either. But that's lucky, because it's the person beside us he was asking. It wasn't us in the first place. You know? We tell ourselves that. "Oh, no. When they said go out, and surely I'll be with you always." We want that part, but we don't want to ever read 28:19. We just want the 20 part, right? 18 and 19, that's the guy beside us, but I'll take the good bit at the end. We always try to pick and choose the parts that we want. The reality is, some of us have a fear of letting people down. We always want to keep everybody happy. There's no fear in love. When perfect love is present, it casts out all fear. That doesn't mean we can't be afraid, but it means that in our darkest moments, there is a flicker of hope that is found in Jesus. God does not give us a spirit of timidity, but of hope and love. The third thing that I think is a bit dangerous from a human's point of view is where we pray these things. "If there's any offensive way in me, lead me into the everlasting." If you see any offensive way in me, if you see any sin in me, uncover it. Search me. Reveal my fears, O God. Ask me, challenge me for the things where I'm relying on just me and not on you. When I might be swimming down that river of denial and saying, no, things aren't like they are. God, search me. I want to be more and more like you. And lead me in the way everlasting. The truth is, God created us and wants to be in relationship with us. He crafted us together, knitted together, the psalmist says, in our mother's womb. And in the midst of that crafting and shaping, he created us on purpose for a purpose. You see, one of the lies that we tell ourselves is that we aren't good enough. Someone else will do. We couldn't do that. We can't. We aren't worthy enough. Have you ever heard people say those things? Have you ever said those things? Have you ever said those things to yourself? Let's, this week, take the opportunity to pray this dangerous prayer together. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me. And know my anxious thoughts. If there is any offensive way in me, lead me in your way. I had this morning's prayer, this morning's sermon titled, I Want to Go Your Way, Yahweh. Yahweh being the name for God. I want it, before I changed it and then went into 2 weeks of dangerous prayers, it was a standalone sermon. I want to go your way, Yahweh. I want to go your way, God. Yahweh being the name that the Hebrew people used for God, the four letters of the Hebrew language, YHWH. I want to go your way, Yahweh. I want to go your way, God. I don't want to go my way any longer. It's not a new prayer. It's not something that we have just thought up in 2019. This has been something that has been the desire of Christians from the beginning of Jesus walking here on the earth. They wanted to follow his teaching, follow in his steps. Whatever you discover when God, when we pray this prayer, it reveals your need and my need that we would have Christ at the center of all that we do. We used to sing a chorus many years ago that says, Christ is the answer to our every need. Sometimes I think we used to just sing it because there were words in the book. But do we actually believe that he is the answer to our heartache, to our brokenness, to our vulnerability? My prayer this week for each of us, no one more so than me, is that when we're looking for strength, we would look to Christ. When we're looking for patience, we'd look to Christ. When we're looking for resilience, we'd look to Christ. When we're looking for the right words to say in the midst of desolation, we would look to Christ. Wherever we find ourselves this week, may we be able to say, lead me your way, Yahweh.